Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Chef Dan's Giant Report. I am Chef Dan, joined with the Jedi. Kev, how you doing tonight?
Good evening, Chef Dan. Good evening to everyone. Good evening, Giant Blue Nation. Salute. We have the new program here, the Chef Dan Giants Report. Take us on that new journey on a galaxy far, far away in the quest for the fifth Vince Lombardi Trophy, Chef Dan.
Most
Salute on your
definitely.
program. I know you're gonna kill it because you are a true passionate Giant fan.
Thank you very much, Jedi. And we could get right into some Giants talk. Is first off, I want to salute everyone joining me tonight. Big task at hand. Salute to you. Thank you so much for joining me. And Buddha Namaste, thank you so much as always for joining and being a constant, supporter of this channel and everything we do. So thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. As we talk some Giants and we look over some of the moves that was made during the offseason since the last game of the Giants from that dreadful season that we had to go through. But yeah, the Giants ended the season. They had to get clean house a little bit. They got rid of Dave Gettleman, they got rid of Joe Judge, and so they hired some new people in the front office and in the coaching department. As far as the front office, they've hired Joe Shane over from the Buffalo Bills. He was the assistant general manager there. And so far, he's been making a whole lot of good claims and hiring some good staff as well, with the addition of Brendan Brown, the assistant general manager over from the Eagles. He's a person that was known to heavily scout in the Eagles department, known to scout some of their defensive linemen, some of their defensive backs, some of their offensive linemen. He had a hand in, selecting and drafting a whole lot of those guys. So we see that Joe Shane is building a very good cast of support around him. He also hired, I believe it was Courtney Kennedy, for football data and innovation coordinator. And he said that she will also be in some of the day-to-day football activities in prepping some of the games. So that's someone on the analytics side. We've been stressing during the regime of Dave Gettleman as how we need more analytics. The game isn't simply just, touch and feel and seeing the game of football all through the eye test nowadays. They have analytics, and that's a tool to use at your disposal. So now we have someone who, it wants to use analytics but not depend on it. And we see that with some of the hires. But then we go over to the coaches side. He made a big splash in hiring Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, over to be the Giants' new head coach. And Brian Daboll is someone who's been known to be somewhat of a quarterback whisperer, someone who's been known to work with some quarterbacks and help them, get acclimated to the NFL and things of that nature. Name most notably put out there is Josh Allen, but he's worked with a lot of quarterbacks, not in such a great system so far, but everyone that has interacted with Brian Daboll has said a lot of great things. And even the regime past in Joe Judge really wanted to hire Brian Daboll as the OC. So we see someone that was really wanted by the front office is here now. With the addition of Brian Daboll as the head coach, he hired Mike Kafka from the Kansas City Chiefs. That's their passing game coordinator and their QB's coach. He hired him to be the offense coordinator. And we see that the system over at Kansas City is a very lovely system. The way they're able to spread the offense, go down field, it's a lot of deep throws. It's a good system in order to have for a quarterback like Daniel Jones. So we see two offensive minds right there in the coaching staff that, one, Brian Daboll, we see what he's done with Josh Allen, someone who loves to push the ball down the field. And Mike Kafka, who's worked with Patrick Mahomes, who also loves to push the ball down the field. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is of the ilk of those quarterbacks, but what I am saying is that we see naturally a lot of these quarterbacks in today's day and age that are coming out of these systems in college. They want to push the ball down the field. They want to get those quick results. They want to go for six. And so that's the staff that we're building right there. Jedi, what are your thoughts on some of those additions?
all those additions are phenomenal. What they did, they surrounded themselves with good good minds that are up and coming, either up and coming or have a good track record. Along with this coaching staff, they surrounded him with good assistant coaches, analytics department. Hopefully now some good advanced scouting, and now they're changing. What they did was, before in the old days, they were hire within, and what was going on with the Giants, it was the same voices, it was the same system, from not just from Gettleman all the way back for Reese and company. Now they just bought a whole new regime from outside the organization to come in, because sometimes we don't listen to our own, we don't listen to our own prophets in our own home. We need the prophet from the outside to come and give us a message. So by them bringing in these other assistants, other voices, other executives from outside the Giants brass, now what does the league look at the Giants? That maybe there was a little dysfunction. Or things are not working the way they wanted. They keep doing the same hamster, what I call the hamster wheel of church, going around in circles and you're not getting anywhere. So I'm glad they made that move. They're bringing in a fresh eyeballs, fresh executives, scouting, assistant coaches, and so forth. And now they're building out a roster. Now we have the front office in taking its hold now. And now we head into now. Remember, there was a mess here. They were about, I think, close to he wanted to cut almost $40 million in payroll to be under the cap. Now we could talk about now the new NFL league year with the new free agency tampering off the air and all the stuff there. But all in all, personally, I like the move. I was at first, I'm gonna be totally transparent. I wanted a different head coach. I wanted Brian Flores, but a guy that knows how to coach in the Northeast, as an assistant, know the weather patterns, know the game, and I think that's going to help the Giants, because they got a coach who knows the elements and help along with the general manager build a team to according to fit their region of the country.
Most definitely. And speaking of Brian Flores, I know a lot of people wanted him because he is a great defensive coach. He knows how to get the best out of his players, whether on offense or defense. But we've seen his work a lot of the time on the defensive end. And that's why I wanted to ask also about the addition of Don Wink Martindale, who's our defensive coordinator. Everyone pretty much is the same with the addition of some few people. I think Laura Young, she's a director of coaching operations. She was added on. Angela Baker was added on as well, offensive quality control coach. We're getting some people that, they know some things with analytics, and they're also, like you said, watching the Giants from the outside, so they can give us a more fair view of the players we have on the roster. But what did you think primarily of Don Wink Martindale? We've seen his defense primarily with the Ravens, and how that's been a highly touted defense, and how everyone comes home at some point, they get the objective done on the defensive end. What did you think of that?
That was a good move. Remember, Wink Martindale was a highly thought of candidate. Almost was hired for Mike Jets as a head coach, possibly a couple years ago. Before Adam Gase, he was a strong candidate for the New York Jets to come and head coach material. And a man was respected around the league with his defense. A really good defense. If I tell you Baltimore Ravens, you're gonna think about the defense. Rex Ryan, Wink Martindale. Go down the line. We just show you the Baltimore Ravens' defense. It comes to your head, Ray Lewis and company. Haroldi Nada. You name it. Tony Garagusa. That's they're more known for their defense, and he has been part of that, and has his hand, his imprint on the defensive scheme. And I think if he came here because he sees that the Giants have a talent that's suitable for him to succeed here, and given the opportunity, I think when Martindale is going to have a good defense, go along with two first round draft picks. That canvas is, they have a white canvas there. It could go a whole number of ways, but we'll break that down later, not to jump ahead. But the reason why I brought that up, because when you're thinking about can. I'm offered a head assistant coach here for the defense. And you look at the Giants, and of course the Giants is one of the model franchises. You get called, you like, wow, I want to go to the Giants. But then when you see what they have there, some players on defense that might, he says, man, maybe if I could nudge them a certain way, if I could unlock or have, you know, certain players to play a certain scheme, and I could utilize, they're not utilizing their talents better. Maybe I could unlock a certain players, Dexter Lawrence, you know, so forth. And I think he's up for the challenge, and bringing him in here, that was a smart move, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. And that is a perfect segue right into the quote you mentioned earlier, how Joe Shane has said a figure that he wanted to cut, roughly $40 million in cap space he wanted to free up to get the Giants under the cap and help them, you know, have cap flexibility, because you need to have that in a league of great players wanting to get paid. The cap is moving up and the numbers that the players want is moving up. So for the results that we're getting so far, that we can't be that strapped for money as we are right now. Going right into it, these moves were made earlier in the season before any free agents were signed. Joe Shane, the new GM, rather than cutting veterans Sterling Shepard and Blake Martinez, both who are looking to be coming back off of injuries, both very good players, but the opportunity-wise, they just couldn't show us what they were made of. But both were able to accept steep pay cuts on incentive-laden deals that saved the Giants roughly $12 million against the cap. Well, what did you think of those moves right there?
That's a phenomenal move to get these veterans, you know, because let's face it, NFL shelf life of a player is not that long. And then to get these players, that means they're committed to the Giants. That shows you that this organization, despite not winning, despite whatever we thought with Judge and company and before regimes before that, you know, they love to play for this. Or they, you know, as much as we give Mara and Tish a lot of headaches, or the fan base thinks that they don't care, but this shows you that they love playing for that organization. For them to take a pay cut, and only that, they're taking care of medically and rehab and the facilities in forum, you know, in Giants training in Quest Center. It shows a lot for the organization. They want to stay here. I liked it. They get the pay cuts. Shepard, he needs, you know, we saw a lot of promising when he first got on the, you know, on the scene. Remember, I personally think he pushed out Cousin Cruz out from staying on the Giants, because he emerged and he made Cousin Cruz expendable out of the Giants. That's Victor Cruz for all those, you know, we you know, so. And I think, you know, I would like to see Shepard. Never lived up to his potential, but you know what? The Giants still believe in him. And he is a good slot receiver. Hopefully he goes better. And what can we say about Blake Martinez? He is a stud, when healthy, linebacker.
Most definitely. And we see that the Giants, like you said, we had some pieces. Dave Gettleman wasn't all the way, you know, incompetent. He was able to acquire some pieces on the roster. And that was Joe Shane's main point in talking about the roster when he first got here. And that was something that I was glad to hear, that he wasn't just trying to just get rid of everyone and just start fresh. You want to keep some of these pieces around, because I don't think they've just had the opportunity because of some auxiliary pieces that Dave Gettleman hasn't gotten. And I think some players that we had to get rid of in order to move forward. And some of the players we did end up cutting. Shane cuts tight end cut Kyle Rudolph and Caden Smith. He cuts running back Devontae Booker and cut the punter Riley Dixon, saving the Giants about $12.5 million against the cap. What did you think of those moves right there? Because me personally, Devontae Booker, I wasn't too sure about. Riley Dixon, I'm okay with, because he's kind of fallen way off. Kyle Rudolph, the signing made sense at the time for me, but watching him execute, it wasn't the best signing. But Caden Smith, that one's a bit puzzling to me.
Yeah, because it wasn't a Shane guy. Caden Smith, it was voted by the regime. Maybe they are thinking about, you know, replacing him with the free agency or the draft, that position. Of course, Riley Dixon, you could get another punter in the seventh round. you know, they usually come around a dime a dozen. Also, we had some bad news that Logan Ryan was released as well today. You know, that he's no longer with the Giants cut. You know, sad to see him go, but it's a business. It is what a business is, you know, and that's the thing about NFL. It just stinks, you know, with that kind of business aspect. But for them to get under the cap the way they did, and then they made some moves, you know, they you know, this right now, it's a really decent off season for the Giants, in my opinion. It's really decent. Guys, it's not gonna move the needle. You know, we're not gonna be here and acting delusional like the Cowboy fans. No, we're just gonna be level headed, good solid football moves. And this is what the Giants organization has done: some good solid football moves, heading in the right direction, moving the boat around.
I agree with you 100%. And with those cuts, along with the Logan Ryan cut that was made today, they said that ultimately that saved the Giants roughly about close to $1,770,000. It wasn't much of a saving. So it wasn't a cap incentivized move. I think that one was just them trying to move on from an aging safety / defensive back. And it just begs the question, certain you know, holes that we have in the roster right now that we are going to address a little bit later on in the show. But right now we see that the Giants have saved, that it hits right at $25 million in savings against the cap. And so Giants are at $208 million cap. It's not much. It's not much. They're still not at the 40, but they're getting there. What do you think so far? And
they got below the 208. They're like, I think they're like 20 million or 15 million below the threshold with these savings. You know, everyone in the league, you know, physical, you know, the new physical season started already. They had to be below, and they managed to get under below. They managed to manipulate the cap there. And that's a smart move. That's telling you that the general manager has a plan, has a good capologist in his court, you know, surround himself with some good people. You know, you're only as good as your teammates, as your surroundings. And I can say that for myself here. It might say P Sports Jedi, but I'm only as good as Chef Dan, Austin, Gideon, Michael, Heel, my the guys that have come on the network with me. My network is only going to be as good as everyone that comes on and does a program with me. So that's what we're seeing here. You know, is he's surrounding himself with some good so far. You know, it's still they haven't played a game yet, so hold off. I'm not saying throw a parade yet, but I'm just saying, you know, so far so good. What we're seeing on paper and the actions that the general manager is committing here, so far so good, is totally different, and it's a refreshing atmosphere in Giants land, in that building, in that fan base, in organization, and the way we see this season, you see a new hope.
Okay, I can agree with that 100%. And going from right there, we could get right into some of the free agents that the Giants assigned. They were able to sign quarterback Tyrod Taylor, so he's going to be the new backup to the Giants' first quarterback, Daniel Jones. They signed Mark Glowinski. I believe he is from the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
So that's a good signing right there. Whenever you get a lineman from the Colts have had a highly rated offensive line for a long time. So that's been something that's been, not until they a certain person, you know, left the organization that they just recently invested into their offensive line. But so far they've had a better offensive line with, you know, I believe, who was that again? He just retired. His name escapes me again.
No, not the one they signed from New England, right? No.
No. Oh, man, he was on the Chargers and he talked so much trash.
Oh, no.
He's a quarterback for the Chargers. He used to be the quarterback for the Chargers and he really talked a whole lot of trash.
Oh, Ryan Phillips.
Yes, Phillips.
Is it Phillips? Is it? Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's Phillips. It's
I know he was the one we originally drafted him, and we traded him for Eli Manning.
Yes, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I forgot his name. I'm twisted too.
You know what's crazy? I bet you could see his face in your head right now. You just can't put the name.
He's a window. Mike Francesa called him a window thrower. He's a window thrower.
Oh, man. Consistently losing to Tom Brady in the AFC Championships. But, they had a good line with him. They had a good line with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz just, you know, hasn't been able to, complete the required things needed to be a franchise point guard. So that's what's been going on with them over there. But Mark Lewinsky, that is a good signing. John Feliciano, he's from the Bills, and he's supposedly going to play center, which is going to be a very, very good thing for the Giants. He let it be known that he's coming in to play his natural position, something he felt that he hasn't gotten the chance to do because he was behind certain players in the lineup over in Buffalo. But we got that person. Matt Gono, he's also from the Buffalo Bills. That's a good offensive lineman. Ricky Seals-Jones over from the Commanders. He didn't have a stellar season, ended the year with roughly over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, but they said that he's a great catcher of the ball. He's a mix between wide receiver and tight end. Kind of like someone else.
Evan Ingram.
Yeah, someone who we just got rid of, but I guess we could also use him in a smaller packages as well. And coming into Mike Kafka's type of offense, you see a guy like Travis Kelce, when he's able to move around in the field and just kind of freelance his routes, he's such an athlete that he's able to get free. And so when he does that, like, you can see that it helps him out, and that helps out the offense as well. So I think that type of athlete is more than welcome. And we also signed Robert Foster. What do you think of some of these additions to the Giants?
First of all, let's start off with Tyrann Taylor. It's a good move for the Giants, because I was worrying if they can go, man, who are they going to bring here as a backup quarterback here to the Giants? I go, with Joe Shane and company and Dable, you want a quarterback. You want him to have a quarterback that could run the same system as well as to the strength of Daniel Jones. If they're going to put some RPOs in there, you need a quarterback who wants to run as well. You're not going to have a quarterback that doesn't run, a stiff as a backup like Glennon. That's why it didn't make sense. Glennon didn't move. You're not going to play the same offense or the same style with Jones, and then if Jones gets hurt, then you bring Glennon, totally different, totally disrupts. You're not going to spike. That didn't make no sense. So I'm glad they bought Tyrann Taylor, a young man who, you know, he's not that young. He's a veteran who can move, who does have a lot of mobility, who can move around, move the pocket. And in case the offensive line isn't that good, he can move and knows how to read a defense that, you know, and if, you know, over and under, I think Tyrann Taylor plays 3 games. I think he plays right at three games this next season. I think, you know, this is the make or break year for Daniel Jones. He has to make a break, but I think he's going to be injured. I think there's going to be time he's going to be injured. And that's why I say over and under, I see him take Tyrann Taylor for 3 games at least. You know, I might take the over because he might be that, you know, we don't know how he's going to, Jones is going to react from this neck injury either. You know, that's a big question mark. And then all in all, the offensive line help. This is something that Giant fans been screaming for years now. The offensive line, back to Eli days, the offensive line, they've been addressing it. Granted that they tried to bring offensive line help in the past, did that, and it just didn't pan out. One was the COVID, you know, the COVID. Linebacker from New England. It just escapes his name that he didn't play.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a bust. Let's face it.
Left tackle.
the left tackle.
No, he was Nate Solder.
Solder, there you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. I was just on doing some other programs, and I got all baseball and all different sports, so forgive me, guys. I do know my name and my players. It's just so many different sports on one night. It's just I'm all over, you know, thinking about different names and different people. But Nate Solder, he didn't pan out. They gave him the money. That was the best free agent at that time. You cannot get mad at the Giants for trying to give money to the best right tackle in that year of free agency. And he brought him in here, just didn't pan out. Super Bowl, he's a Super Bowl winning guard from the New England Patriots who blocked for Tom Brady and so forth. New England, that whole model, they know how to win. Winners, it just didn't pan out here due to COVID. You know, he took it. He stood away from the season because he was sick. So I'm okay. You know, it didn't pan out. I'm not, you know, they also traded away Beckham. They bought in, you know, Jabril Peppers also with Zeitler. They made some, you know, try to help the offensive line. They made moves. They tried, but something, I don't know if either is the blocking scheme by the offensive line coaches or what it was, the offensive system. I don't know what it was, you know. Oh, and also didn't help Chef Dan, before I move on with it, that when they did bring Judge in here, he didn't bring his own offensive line coach. It was Garrett was the offensive head coach that they gave, the Maris gave Judge. He bought in Colombo. Colombo disrespected Judge the first year. Got fired. So you had this function and disorder inside the Giant house. That also didn't set up Judge a good opportunity to do his implement. And I understand Judge didn't help himself either. And I'm not to rehash what happened. But also, you know, when you have two different, you have a divided coaching staff within. Colombo did not like Judge for whatever reason, whatever so forth. He probably has a way, oh, don't listen to him. You know, we're gonna do this. And there was confusion and disorder, and the house divided when disorder cannot stand. And that's what happened with, in my opinion, in Joe Judge's regime. Now you got a new head coach. You've seen the additions here on the offensive line. They bring two familiar faces from Buffalo that they know the scene. They know the lingo of the offense, where if they're going to pull a guard, if they're going to pull center, silent count and so forth. That's going to help the Giants in massive, massive leap. You're going to see a huge difference on offense. It's not going to be the boring, you know, if the Giants score 17 points in three quarters, we're thinking, oh my God, it's an offensive explosion. But meanwhile, you know, you see Mahomes and company, they're scoring 24 points, 24 to 28 points in three quarters. And we're like thinking 17 and the final score is 21, whatever. Well, oh my God, the Giants had an offensive explosion. Meanwhile, we did this in three quarters. The point is, I think you're going to see more fluidity. You're going to see more offensive line help that's going to open up the holes. I think maybe that's going to help Saquon Barkley because he's also playing for a contract. You know what I always say? When a player's hungry, when they're ready to get that bag, they play out of their mind. Nothing motivates any athlete, professional athlete, than trying to get that money and that generation-changing money.
I agree with you in certain aspects. The other aspects, I have a bit of a difference of opinions. And number one, I think this year, Daniel Jones, I don't think Tyrod Taylor plays three games. Okay. I think Tyrod Taylor maybe plays two games. Okay. And that's only like, I'd say maybe at the end of the game, if the game is so out of hand, the Giants are maybe winning so much. I just have faith in this front office based on some of the additions that they're addressing right now. I want to first look at the offensive line, as we've always had the discussion about. Now you've kind of had it. You've slided out some really bad players, and you've kept some good players. And so with also the picks that we have, I think we can address the line much better, and that'll allow Daniel Jones to operate within the new offensive system that he's getting. And that also helps Saquon Barkley. I think the problem, the main problem with the Giants is because every team knew how weak the offensive line was, that as long as you could just take out Daniel Jones, you didn't have to worry about a Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay, any of the tight ends, any of the wide receivers. You didn't have to worry about them or even Saquon Barkley. You just had to bring the house to the offensive line consistently, and they weren't going to be able to do anything. But they're addressing this offensive line off the bat with John Feliciano and others, Matt Gano and things of that nature. So you can see that we're addressing it at the right moment. It's in the sense that I know Nick Gates is coming off of a injury, broken leg, but if he heals correctly, and these are just ifs, and you know, I don't want to say if a whole lot, but let's just say that he heals from this correctly, and it was a clean break, and he even showed that he was able to kind of move around on the leg with some support a couple of days after the surgery. So if he heals correctly and he's able to slide back to his natural position of guard, where he's not taking on a whole lot of, you know, load of, you know, dealing of you know, the premier rush guys are coming along the edge. I think that's really going to help them out. You also have Shane Lemieux. Them two are fighting for guard position. That helps us out as well. I don't know if this team plans on keeping Matt Peart, but that also can slot Matt Peart right into a guard position as well, because we can be potentially drafting our right tackle of the future in this draft.
Yeah, I can see that. Remember, the Giants got two picks. They got two good picks here. If I'm not mistaken, 4 and 7. If I'm not mistaken there. Five and seven. Yeah, the Jets are 4. Just 4 and 10. 5 and 7. And they're going to have an opportunity here to address those. Remember, this draft coming up, 2022, is extremely O-line heavy. Defense, offensive line. There's some good pass rushers, some good guards, centers, tackles in this draft, wide receivers as well. So those in that skill position, not a lot of good quarterbacks. So there is not, the franchise quarterbacks may not be in this draft. There might be a serviceable game manager in McNeek Willis. I don't think the Giants are in the sweepstakes on they're gonna put their eggs in the Daniel Jones basket so far.
And that does buy this front office a free year, because if you put the right pieces around him and he doesn't succeed, at that point you could say it's his fault. And there you could go into either the quarterback market of the free agency, or you could have your pick in next year's draft. It's all dependent on what happens this year. And if he performs well enough to say, hey, we're willing to give this kid a chance. It's just that the prior regimes didn't do right by him. And that's all it takes there. But another position that I think this front office is going to have to attack in the draft, I know we're going to look at offensive line. We're probably going to look at D-line. We'll talk about that later. But sticking to the offensive side, it's tight end. We are kind of barren on the tight end position right now. As we see the ticker at the bottom, the Giants only have Ricky Seals-Jones, Chris Myriak, and Jake Hausman and Rice and John. Those are our tight ends, and none of those guys scream starter tight end. So for me, I think you're going to have to attack this either in the second or the third round, where you're going to have to look for a good tight end. Well, what's your thoughts on that?
The tight ends, not a good strong tight end class here. You probably could, if you select a tight end in the second round, third round, you're reaching. You know, I mentioned for the Jets a tight end at the second round. I even mentioned it. That's a reach, you know. But if there's a skill position there, you go for it. You go with the best available player, player always. You always go with the best available player, even if you have a plethora of the same talent. But you can never have enough of the. You might just be great at one at a certain talent. You know, they do need a tight end. But on the offensive side, what I wanted to mention was. Here's the thing though, keep an eye on this. This is just me. If the Giants somehow, let's say the way the draft goes out here, and the fourth pick, there's a player that another team want to leapfrog in, don't be surprised if they ended up trading that either the fourth or the seventh this year to pick up another number one maybe down the road for next year's draft or so forth, with some late round picks to stock up for next year's draft, because they're keeping it, like you said, the quarterback. Just in case it don't go well, they have capital now. If they don't have a good year and they have an extra first round pick, package those up and then say try to move up to number two, number three, or number one, maybe number one, who knows, maybe not. Oh, you know, I hope they never go near the number one pick for a long time. But trying to get their franchise quarter. My point is they're gonna have capital, draft capital to move up, to try to make an aggressive move, to try to get their quarterback that they like next year. I'm not saying they're gonna punt this season. No. You never go in, and especially in football, you never go in for that word tanking and punting do not exist. These guys are professionals. It's a league that people get cut. That, you know, their livelihoods, they got to put food on their table. Guys go out there and they give you 100%. Anything can happen in the world of football. But in case the quarterback, they could protect themselves by training away the number seventh or fourth, just in case, just so they could have capital for next season. It wouldn't surprise me. Although this draft this year, there's a lot of positions that they need help in. The only thing is, when you draft two number one picks, one and seven, five and seven, in the years of when the time comes for their shot to sign, you're gonna have to make a tough choice. You can't keep both. The NFL's and the financial aspect of it won't allow you to sign both long term, and that's gonna be a problem. Unless if you're able to sign one long term and franchise tag the other, but that's gonna eat a lot of your cap. So with that said, man, it's tough. Depending on what position, because if it's linemen, they don't, and even if you franchise, they don't command a lot of money. They don't take a lot of bulk of your, although things could change. The NFL, you know, you can see how it is from year to year. But my point is, you got to keep an eye on that with the Giants, with that, if they do draft those two first rounders.
I agree with you 100%. And the way you've mentioned the situation, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they decided to trade the number five overall pick in order to get someone with that seventh overall pick. And we see right now they only have one pick in the second round so far. It's number 36 overall. So maybe they want another pick in the second round, maybe an additional third round pick, or maybe an additional fourth round pick. We see that they can just add more and more players. That way they can add them for super cheap, but they're good quality players because they know they've scouted them extensively throughout the draft. Like you said, 100%. I don't know. I agree with you 100% there. They cannot draft two guys within the first round. That's rare. And watching the market so far, you think that certain markets wouldn't explode, but we're seeing it right now. The markets are growing ever so more. What you thought was an acceptable rate, going rate for a certain wide receiver, if they become the number one wide receiver in the market next year, when now they're looking to triumph the contract that was just recently given to, i.e., Davante Adams. And it's, you know, they don't have an animosity. The players don't have an animosity towards each other. They just feel like if they keep raising the number for each other, they can help each other get paid. And that's thought process you can't get mad at. But now you see that the wide receiver free agent market, that now is booming to a number that certain front offices aren't comfortable with paying, but that's the price of doing business. We're also noticing right now defensive linemen, they were getting paid out of the wazoo this free agency. So now the tag on some of these positions are getting larger and larger to a point that it is really hampering the cap. So that's really something to look out for. I agree with you 100%. I want to move on though, looking over to the defensive side of the position, defensive side of the ball. We see that the Giants, for me right now, other than Logan Ryan, there hasn't been much moves on the defensive end, on the defensive side of the ball. I know we're looking to draft maybe a defensive end, maybe a safety or two or so, but I that's the holes I think we have right now, is defensive end and safety. We have no one to help generate pressure at all. We're naked on the pressure. What do you think?
Yeah, they need some pass rushers. And one thing about this draft, there's plenty of pass rushers. There's some good edge rushers. You know, there's some real good. You got Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. Aiden Hutchinson, although I think that he will not be there at the, with the Giants when they pick at five. He'll be gone. You got David Ajabu. You know, you got some really good players there from Georgia. You have some from the SEC. You always get some good pass rushers. I'll have a list of the names for that next program on the pass rushers and skill positions per position for each one. But at the Giants, if they want to go get themselves the pass rusher, they might be available there. You know, it might be there. It might be there. It all depends on what, you know, how 1 through 4 breaks. You know, will there be a team crazy? You know, like I say crazy because I don't think any of the teams on the top four needs a quarterback. You know, although Detroit could say they could go another year, you know, with you know, the same quarterback.
With Goff, yeah.
Yeah, with Goff. I don't think they'll want to draft another quarterback. The quarterback of the future. Or, you know, although who knows, because we never thought Baker Mayfield was never going to be. Now he's out of Cleveland. He doesn't want it. He requested to be traded. You know, that the whole carousel of quarterbacks is driving the league nuts there. We never know. It's right now the NFL has really became unpredictable. You know,
it really has. It very much so has, and we're going to continue to look towards the draft as far as who the Giants are going to look for. As something else I want you to look at is some of the players we see in free agency. Who do you think who do you think is available to the Giants, and who do you think is some of the players you think they should go after?
See, I wish they had a. I don't know how much money they have. You know, right now we all know Allen Robinson III is out. He signed with the Rams, and they weren't going to go wide receiver. I just wanted for those, you know, to see the names on the ticker. You know, an interesting name, but I don't know if they have the money to sign for Jadeveon Clowney would be if they wanted to go with defense to bring him in here. But me personally, J.C. Treader. You bring another. You want to get as much linemen as possible. He just got cut by Cleveland. You try to see, bring him in here, man. The more linemen, the more depth you have at line, O line. I like it. You know, Kyle Van Noy. You know, good linebacker. New England knows how to win. You know, play that middle linebacker position. You know, I don't know how much more he has left in the tank, but if he does, you know, on a real cheap deal. Until Blake Martinez returns, you can bring him in. It's interesting. I don't know. I got to find. But it all depends on how much Martindale wants to blitz. If he trusts the blitz. If he has the corners that he's comfortable to blitz. And get, because it's all about getting it to the quarterback. Let's face it. The NFC East. Let's look at the NFC East. You know, the Commanders, who we don't know who their quarterback is. Really. You know, Heineke. They might be upgrading
Wentz. They just got Wentz.
Right, but they Heineke got Wentz, right, still correct, on the, correct,
and,
correct.
But see, the funny part is Heineke is still on that roster, and no matter if Carson Wentz is coming to that front office, I think Heineke has enough of the locker room that they'll always go back to him as long as he's on that roster. And that's a problem they have until they get rid of him, or they find a quarterback and they're comfortable enough to say, okay, he's a serviceable backup, but this guy we know for sure is all the way better than him. We're looking at the...
Then you have Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts.
They overachieved, because even the Philadelphia Eagles don't even believe in Jalen Hurts. The whole organization, the way with all the body language and all the... reports and they're kicking the tires and looking around. They don't even believe in that quarterback. You don't see them rebuilding. And then you have Dallas. Dallas, the only threat, but Dallas just lost Amari Cooper. They're losing offensive linemen everywhere. They have one that's requesting a trade, looking for himself to get traded. They're not going to pick that high. And although this draft does have a lot of good linemen, they could probably plug and play here, bring some linemen here, but they're not signing no one on free agency either. They're kind of quiet. They're losing players left. They're bleeding out players left and right because they paid a lot of the money into their offensive skill position players. So there's a chance for the Giants here to get some players to be competitive in the league, in the division.
Yeah, most definitely. But I also, the reason why I brought up those other teams within the division is because I know at least two of those three teams have something that the Giants do not have right now, and that is a consistent pass rush.
Right.
The Commanders have Chase
Young.
They have the best D-line in the league right now. That they're young and they're hungry and they just jump off the ball. Then you have also with Montez Sweat, they're a nice duo there as well. But then over on the Cowboys side, you have someone in Micah Parsons who is really just, that was a rookie of the year. Absolutely. He earned that, and he could have potentially won Defensive Player of the Year. But you had a Watt over in Pittsburgh that had the season that he had, and you had to give credit to that. But Micah Parsons was making enough noise that throughout the year that he could have been a Defensive Player of the Year. He's definitely a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And
let me throw a little wrinkle, Chef Dan. Let me ask you a question. Now that a full body of work is out there, Micah Parsons, do you think now there's a scouting report on how to play him, chip him, and do you think he will be able to repeat that kind of performance? Because some players, when they got it, they got it, no matter what, who the hell you put in front. It'll be interesting there. I don't know. I think he'll be 65 to 70% of what he did this year.
The funny part is, as great as the season he's had, and I don't want to be a hater. Like, I don't want to be a hater of the Cowboys, just speaking objectively. The problem is, right now, right, is not even the Cowboys know what to do with him.
Hmm. Good point.
And so when they don't know what to do with him, and you have a guy in Mike McCarthy, I don't really trust. Dan Quinn, they trust a lot of. But Dan Quinn has also been known to have some epic explosions down the stretch. What I would say, and I would tell them to be careful about, really, I think the first couple of teams are going to have to suffer throughout the league, but one team in the middle of the season is going to figure it out. But all throughout the year, what I believe is going to happen is they're going to throw different packages at him. He's going to get frustrated in those different packages. So now Dan Quinn is going to try different, he's going to try and put him in different positions, play him different ways to free him up. At some point, they're going to find out, oh, wow, one of these moves is very effective. And that means one of these other moves aren't as effective as this one. He's going to build that's his go-to. This year, I believe, is going to form him as what he is as a player and what he is, at, you know, position-wise. Either he's going to be a defensive lineman or they're going to put him back at safety or something like that. Because that's the only way, you know, you can't just have him be a hybrid lineman slash safety. Especially on the defensive end, this is so much contact.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to deter you away from the Giants talk there. Just a thought that came in my head when it came to Parsons and the division. We're breaking down the division, you know, and of course, there's still a lot of things to be settled here. But from looking at the point, you know, right now, not just the division, Chef Dan, the conference, you know, you have, and it's, we'll love for Daniel Jones to hit, to be a good, will be a quarterback, because right now, face it, Brady's 45 years old. Rodgers is an elder statement of, you know, he's MVP, yes, but he just lost
his best weapon too,
right? And I don't think Devontae Freeman is coming. He got tagged, but he said he'd rather sit. He'll sit out the whole, he's not gonna play under that money. Or did he sign the contract?
I didn't know he just signed the contract.
Okay,
oh, let me break the news to you.
Yeah,
he just signed a contract with the Las Vegas Raiders to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. The Packers traded Devontae Adams to the Raiders for a first and second round pick.
Why? I'm shocked. They did that to Rodgers and he came back just for that.
But Rodgers apparently he knew about the dispute between Adams and the front office, and he still came back knowing that there was a chance that he wasn't going to be there.
Wow. Because the narrative was that I knew from insights that he was going to play. He was going to accept the tag, but he wasn't going to play on that tag without a deal. So they traded him. Wow, I'm shocked. That's a wow. I heard it. Wow, I am shocked. Thank you for you know, I was doing the other program and I didn't read up on or check on it. Wow, I'm shocked. That caught me by surprise. The Raiders, the Raiders, Chandler Jones, Michael Parsons, Josh McDown has no. They put him in a position to succeed. If he doesn't, he will never be a head coach again if they don't win.
Oh yeah, and you have Derek Carr, who he's not a scrub of a quarterback.
No, he's good.
He really isn't.
Right.
He's not all time great, but that guy, I think he has enough skill to win you a Super Bowl. He can win you a Super Bowl as long as you put him in the right position. But you see it, like you said, consistently. The league is changing, but in our face every day. Yeah, and moments we're asleep, there's moves being made consistently.
Wow. And I was mentioning before the Davante Adams news, around the league, the hot spots, the older quarterbacks down in Atlanta, Matty Ryan, he's old, he's ready to go. There is not a young plethora of young quarterbacks in the NFC. Now the AFC, that's a whole different story. So it will be phenomenal, the Giants to find themselves a franchise quarterback, young, and start setting the bar, being the next wave, ready to take over, ready to say, we got next. Dak right now, he's like in the middle. He's still young, but he's getting to the veteran area, and his window, personally, I think is almost closed. It's halfway closed, and it's going down to the quarter of the window closed to win. Let's face it. New Orleans, no Breeze. They don't know what quarterback, they're going to go with Taysom Hill. They don't know who's going to be their quarterback, trying to get Watson in there. The NFC, other than the defending champions, and Matt Stafford is another quarterback that's been around for more than 10-plus years. He's on his way on decline. He won the Super Bowl. He might repeat, maybe, or represent the NFC again. Who knows? But he's also, he's got one or two more years. If you get yourself a good, Seattle lost Russell Wilson. San Francisco, they don't know. They don't want to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back. They want to go with a rookie. There's an opportunity in Chicago. They have a rookie, a second year quarterback as well. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, the only one stability, and we all know who Kirk Cousins is.
If you break down the NFC, like you said, or if you break down the league in a whole, it seems as letting you know when this is why the news has been made all throughout the fans are really excited for the football season that's coming up. I think a lot of the primetime games are going to be through the AFC. It's going to be a lot of AFC matchups because a lot of the premier quarterbacks have moved over to the AFC division. And that leaves the NFC wide open, especially when you have really the two best quarterbacks in the NFC being Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, both of them being older, both of the rosters being somewhat depleted. The Bucks not so much, but the Packers, their roster is being depleted. They still don't know whether they're getting back Za'Darius Smith or not. So it leaves the NFC wide open. And really, with Daniel Jones, your only competition in the NFC is Dak Prescott. The Eagles do not have a quarterback, and the Commanders do not have a quarterback. So I agree with you. You're absolutely right. This is the year where we have to know what Daniel Jones is. And not only that, the reason why we're so confident in this front office is when you look at all the moves, everything makes sense. They're attacking the offensive line throughout free agency, but they're also attacking the offensive line. Well, it seems like they plan to attack the offensive line in the draft, and that's a wise move versus Dave Gettleman, who we saw, and I have to keep bringing him up as an example because he was the last guy that was here, and he did promise us a better offensive lineman, but we saw it in the draft that just passed. He didn't touch offensive linemen at all in the draft. And that was something that was very depressing, something that certain fans felt, you only had two opinions either as a fan. One was, hey, why did you not attack it? We could always use the additional help offensive linemen go down and every time. And the second one was, hey, maybe we're good enough. And we found out that the people that thought we were good enough as far as on the offensive line help, dead wrong. We were not good enough. We have to keep attacking the offensive line. And I know we brought in some good signees so far, but we don't know how they'll pan out yet. So we have to find that out throughout the season. That's the only way, is through them playing. And hopefully the guys that they bring in through the draft are able to execute.
Yeah, stay healthy. That's the main thing. Because you see linemen, when they go down, man. They got to stay healthy.
Okay, so then we're getting on to close to an hour here. I don't want to run the program on too much because it is the NFL offseason. I just wanted to break down everything that has been going on with the Giants so far, and I'll continue to do so every week. Once a week, we'll have the Chef Dan's Giants Report here on the BX Sports Jedi Network. You guys could tune in every week. Get some bit of news on the Giants, what's going on, or if it's a dead week, we'll possibly move on and we may do a live show about the Knicks with me and the Jedi. So until then, I just want to ask you one last question, Jedi.
I'm here.
Before you go, what is your hope for the Giants this year?
Competitive. Be a competitive team. You know, if it, and be competitive when an opportunity to play some meaningful football, that you even have an opportunity, dare I say, to tie or even play for your division title. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, even if they don't win it, but come December, with, you know, when game weeks 15, week 14, there is still an opportunity. One game, maybe two games, when you hold a tiebreak if you win, an opportunity to win your division title and be competitive, you know, just and see growth. I definitely want to see growth on the team, when the quarterback, the offensive line moving, and even if they, even if something, just have, give us a competent offense. Because let's face it, I'm not in the New York City market, and I'm outside the New York City market. And when the red zone, you really don't see the Giants on red zone, man. And that's sad. And I want to be able to see my team, you know, it's okay. Oh, well, you're on red zone and you still don't win. You guys, look, the Cowboys, look at them. They're on red zone all the time, and they never won who got. But the point is, I want my team to be on red zone, you know, to be competitive. Like, wow, look at that team. That team is fun. That team is quick. That team, you know, wow, that's, you know, so they're innovative. That's all I'm asking for.
Most definitely. What I want to see is some stability and, like you said, some competitiveness. I want it to be that if, you know, down the stretch, we control our own destiny. That's all we want. I don't want to be waiting, you know, hoping that another team loses in order for us to get some more favorable spots and things of that nature. I just want us to control our own destiny, and whoever we face in the playoffs, if we get to the playoffs, that would be a welcome sight. But from everyone here that, you know, everyone here backstage in the Bronx Sports Jedi Network, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. Everyone in the chat, Kelvin T. Jones, the mayor of the chat, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Maria, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Big task at hand. Once again, thank you so much for supporting the program, as always. And Buddha Namaste. Dak is not as good as you think he is. But thank you for joining us. And we'll be here every time we beat Dak to gloat and to drink a beer with you. But until then, everyone, please enjoy your night. Have a safe night. And let's go, Big Blue.